The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Show us the Father, Lord, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Three times in the gospel reading this morning, Jesus says, "Trust me." He says it in verse 1, "Believe in God, believe also in me. Trust me." He says it again in verse 11, "Trust me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Says it again in verse 12, "Anyone who trusts me will do what I've been doing." In English, we make a distinction in nuance. We translate the word believe or trust or faith, but in the original language of the Bible, it's all the same word. It's only one word. Trust me. Now, we hear that a lot in our modern world. Trust me. And we don't. That guy on the TV that with the dyed black hair and the dog in the bad suit that sells cars, trust me. You probably don't. Nothing against car salesmen, but they have, unfortunately, for better or worse, become sort of the, whipping boys for the dishonest, or perhaps a lawyer. It's not fair to lawyers or car salesmen, but my point is that we hear it so much in the modern world that we don't. Trust me. When somebody says, "Trust me," we want to see the fine print. We want it all written down in black and white, and we want to see the fine print, or we don't trust. And if we don't have it in fine print, we have no recourse. Because when the guy who said, "Trust me," doesn't follow through, what are you going to do? And so our entire society in these last 40 or 50 years has become, in the words of many, a litigious society. Litigation constantly. Nothing against lawyers. But litigious means everybody's suing everybody about everything, and everything gets resolved in court because nobody trusts anybody anymore. Oh, maybe they never did. Maybe it was some sort of Norman Rockwell illusion in which we all live. But trust me has become an invitation not to. So when we hear Jesus say this morning, "Trust me," three times, we're not so sure we will. You need to know that the word for trust in the Bible, the one I said gets translated trust or believe or faith, but it's really all the same word. The word for trust doesn't mean blind faith. I don't know where that expression came from, blind faith. But that is not what the Bible means by trust. The Bible really means try me. Trust me means try me out. Try this out and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, shame on me. But God, who as our psalm tells us this morning, is faithful, and that means dependable, is one who doesn't ask us to have blind faith, but to lean on Him and try Him out and see if what He says is true. And then we'll know we can trust. Jesus says this morning in the gospel, if you trust me, you'll do what I've been doing. The way we find out if Jesus is trustworthy is to do what He asks us to do and see what happens. If what He says comes to pass. I think that's a fair offer, don't you? Try this out. See if it works for you. And if it does, trust me. You can trust me. You'll find out if you can trust me by doing what I've been doing and see if what I say will come to pass, comes to pass. I think that's fair. It's not blind faith. Trust me, Jesus says, means try me out. Do what I've been doing and prove for yourself. How do we just trust Jesus? Well, we don't just trust. We take what He says and we try it out and we see what happens. And I need to tell you right from the start that everything Jesus said works. It's just that we want it to work the way we want it to work. And we want all good things to result because that's what the world promises and that's what we hear all the time from the world. If you try this, you'll have a happier, better, more prosperous, whatever. It's all good, 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 good. Just God's understanding of what good is not necessarily ours. And so Jesus says, and you need to remember this, if the world hated me, the world's going to hate you. Trust me. Did you do that this week? Remember last week in Sunday sermon, I said, I want you to try to be good all week. You remember that? Anybody try it? How far did you get? And I told you, if you try it, what's going to happen? Nobody's going to thank you. Nobody is. In fact, people may despise you because you're not like them. Just out for what you can get. Self-aggrandizement is what the world is about. And Jesus says, now I want you to give all that up. I want you to give up yourself and take up a cross, which means to die to what you want so you can do what I want. Trust me, this works. And also trust me that the world is not going to like you for this. So if you try to be good all week, you know, virtue is its own reward. The reward is I was obedient to Christ this week, not I got something out of it which makes my life better. It will make your life better in the long run, but in the short run, you won't get any thanks for it and you won't get anything for it either. Trust me. Well, how can we trust Jesus? How can we try this out? How can we do what He has been doing? I think it can all be expressed in the phrase from the Nicene Creed, which we say every Sunday. If we will be what God says we are, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I'd like to break that down. One holy, Catholic, apostolic church. First of all, we are one church. Now, I know what people mean when they say different churches, plural. They mean there are different expressions of Christianity. You have the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church and the Catholic Church and the non-denominational church and the Pentecostal Church and the Lutheran Church. But the Bible only knows about one church. It only knows about one. And that doesn't mean that one is right and all the rest are wrong either. It just means that whatever you happen to call yourself on the door, there is one people of God. As Peter says in our epistle reading this morning, listen to this. You come to Jesus, come to Him, like living stones to be built into how many spiritual houses? A spiritual house, that's singular, to be a holy priesthood, In verse 9, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to God. Singular. There is only one church. There is only one people of God. I don't care what it calls itself. Does that mean that we're all going to get together in this life? Probably not. I mean, we've been trying all these years and, you know, we've made a little progress, but I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime or your lifetime or your great-great-great-grandchildren's lifetime, because the church is made up of the likes of you and me. And, you know, we're tough to get along with, tough to come to agreement on stuff. And so there's probably always going to be different expressions of church, but there is only, make no mistake, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. That one church is divided in this life, but not in eternity. And so Jesus prays that they all may be one, Father, as you and I are one. Believe me, Jesus says, the Father's in me and I'm in the Father. And I want you to be that way too. I want you to all be one with one another and one in me. And we're trying, we're just not there. But in God's eyes, there is only one people of God. One holy people of God. Now that's a scary word, holy. Because you think, you know, you're not. And you're right. You're not. But holiness is not about your character, it's about your behavior. It's about what God has called us to be. Holiness means we're different, we're special, we're unique. We're not like the rest of the world. We're trying to do as Jesus did. If you trust me, Jesus says in the last verse of our gospel reading this morning, you will do what I have been doing. And it is in that in which our holiness is found, in doing what Jesus has asked us to do. Not in how we feel, not in how great we are inside, not in how good we are, not how righteous we are, but whether or not we will seek to obey the Lord. That is what our holiness consists in, and nothing else. I'm not a very good person. But God says I'm holy because I'm trying to do what Jesus asked us to do. You Christians, the world says, you know, you aren't any better than anybody else. And we say, I know, isn't it awful? Because we're supposed to be. You Christians, the world says, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. And we go, I know, isn't it terrible? You Christians, the world says, you're no better than anybody. I mean, where do you get off? We don't. We're not putting ourselves up here above anybody else. We know we're not better than anybody else. We're just trying to be different. We're trying to be what Jesus asked us to be. Please forgive us for how we failed you. Never, never argue for the truth of Christianity by the goodness of Christians. It is an argument that will not work because you are not good and neither am I. Our goodness consists not in something we have innate to ourselves, but in something that Christ has given us by virtue of his perfect obedience to the will of God. He is the good one. And he gives us that goodness as a gift to wear around us like a cloak. He gives us that goodness not as something innate to ourselves, but as something we wear. Something to which we try to attain. We are holy. A holy people. Not because we are good, but because we are seeking to do what Jesus asked us to do, and therefore we are seeking to be different. One holy Catholic church. I'm always having to explain that the word Catholic in the creed does not mean Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholic Church is a denomination within the one holy Catholic Church, just like the Lutheran Church and the Methodist Church and the Episcopal Churches are denominations within the one holy Catholic Church. Catholic is not an adjective that describes a denomination. It is a word that expresses that there is this one whole people of God who have received from God the wholeness of his revelation. The word Catholic is a Greek word. It's composed of two words. The first part, kath, means according to, and the second part, holos, means whole. According to the whole. That's what Catholic means. According to the whole. Somebody probably told you it means universal. Actually, that's not right. It means according to the whole. According to the wholeness of what God has given His people. And how did God give that to us? In Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the wholeness of the revelation of God. And we heard Jesus say this morning, trust me. If you trust me, you'll do what I have been doing. And so the Catholic Church, the only church there is that people of God, by whatever denominational tag or no denominational tag they happen to have adopted, who are seeking to hear from God His whole revelation and trying to live according to that wholeness. And wholeness doesn't just mean all, which is why the word universal doesn't correctly translate the word Catholic, because universal means all. Wholeness is something about well-being, too. So to live according to the whole means a living according to the wholeness that comes from the way of life Jesus has given us. We are Catholic. If you're not Catholic, you're not a Christian. There is only one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now it's true that the Roman Catholic denomination believes that they are the Catholic Church, and we're not. That's true. That's what they believe. But they're not right. Because the Orthodox Church believes they are the one Holy Catholic Church, and nobody else is. Now, wait a minute. Somebody's not right here. I'll tell you who's not right. The ones who identify that word with some organizational structure is not right. The true church is found wherever an assembly of believers is gathered around the Word of God and the celebration of His sacraments. That's where the church is found. Don't care what the name on the door is. One Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. What does that mean, apostolic? Apostolic means a couple of things. It means we are a sent out people of God. That's what the word apostle means. Someone who's sent out. And it also means to believe according to what the apostles believed. What did the apostles believe and what did the apostles do? What did Jesus say when He called them? Did he say, learn this body of material here and be able to pass a test on it? No. Did He say, change your life and so that you become really, really, really good and you're really, really, really nice to people? No. By the way, I'm so glad that there's no place in the Bible that says I have to be nice. That's such a relief. Did you know that? There is no commandment anywhere in the Bible that says be nice. It's not in there. I'm so glad because I am not. I bet you're not either. See, nice you can fake. Good, you can't fake. The Bible doesn't say be nice. It says be good. That's hard. Nice is easy. That guy that wants to sell you cars with the bad hair and the bad suit, he's nice. Trust me, he says. He's not good. Maybe. Because nobody's good. Be good. The apostolic church is that people who are sent out, like the apostles in our first reading today, to proclaim the word of God fearlessly and boldly, no matter what the consequences may be. And I like that. St. Paul says, this Jesus I am proclaiming. What do we proclaim? What is the apostolic message? We proclaim Jesus. It is Jesus who is the subject of our proclamation, the object of our faith, and the goal towards which we strive. This Jesus I am proclaiming. Yes, we proclaim the Catholic faith according to the wholeness of God's revelation that He has given us in Jesus Christ. But it is Jesus who is the heart and soul of that message. And that is what we have to proclaim because that is the one who has come and said, trust me. Trust me. I am the dependable one. I am the faithful one. I am the one for whom you long. I am the one who has come to save you. I am the subject of the proclamation because I am the object of your faith. We proclaim Jesus. And we are sent out to proclaim Jesus. And we are to proclaim that Jesus and that message about Jesus, which we have received from the apostles. And how do we know that we're proclaiming it rightly? How do we know that it's the same message we have received from the apostles? Because it is contained in the Word of God, which is the great treasure of the Christian church. The Holy Bible, which we receive from the apostles, which is always guided as the norm for our faith and our life, the one holy Catholic Church. We are apostolic to the degree that we go out proclaiming not ourselves and how great we are and how friendly we are, but Jesus. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church means I belong to that one people of God. I seek to become what that one people of God is meant to become, the holy, special people of God, not because we're good, but because He's good. Not because we're anything special, but because by seeking to do what Jesus does, and by proclaiming who Jesus is, the specialness afforded by God to us becomes evident to the world. Part of being holy means to become what Jesus is. Because if you do what Jesus does, you become what Jesus is. This is an astounding statement. St. Peter puts it this way later in his epistle. You have been given everything you need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus so that you might come to share in the divine nature. Think about that. To share in the divine nature. God wants us to become what He is. He wants us to become by grace what He is by nature. He wants us to become good. Now in the Bible, you don't know anything you don't do. That's why I said earlier, when Jesus called His disciples, He didn't say, hey, come and learn this body of knowledge so I can give you tests on it, so I can make sure you know it in some portion of your brain housing group. No. He said, follow Me. Follow Me. Do like I do. And that's what He says in the Gospel this morning. Trust Me, because if you trust Me, you'll do what I've been doing, and you'll become what I am. And that's the great mystery and hope of the Christian faith in this life, that if we will do what Jesus asks us to do, we will become what Jesus is, and the world will see and know that God loves the world. Because you and I, by doing what Jesus says to do, become what Jesus is. Trust Me. Jesus says, trust Me. Trust Me by doing what I ask you to do. And so become what I am. And so draw the world to the Father who is in Me and in you. Amen.